welcome to the Diet Breaker Dietitian Podcast. I'm your host, Nikki Ernest. Do you ever ask yourself, will I always feel stressed about my body or food, or is there a way out? This podcast is to help you align your relationship with food with a faith-centered approach. From debunking nutrition claims, exploring your unique nutrition blueprint, and learning how to detangle the complex relationship with food you grew up with, and learn how God actually wants you to show up. Let's dig in. Hello and welcome to today's podcast. We have another confession podcast today, and I don't know whether to call them confession podcasts or storytime podcasts, but this is a podcast where we talk about your stories. So your stories about your history with disordered eating, where it began, where it is at now, and where you hope to be. One of the themes I hope you gain from just hearing the last few is that our relationship with food does not start with fearing food. Fearing food is the learned behavior that we develop because of our circumstances and influence, and maybe even lies that we've believed about our body, about food, from other influences. Okay? Those influences can be a parental figure who mimicked disordered eating to us. These influences can come from being praised for having a certain body size, big or small, being afraid to lose it or desiring to lose it. Okay? What we will see here is that it wasn't food that made it disordered. It was pain and struggles and beliefs that we learned in order to manage and cope with maybe stresses or behaviors around us. Okay, today's episode is going to be talking about one where, what I love about this one is I'm going to hopefully draw out that your story, no matter how big or small it might seem, no matter if it is really big traumatic to you or seemingly less traumatic than others, does not mean it didn't have a powerful influence on you then and now, and then it didn't lead to disordered eating. Okay, so let's dive right in. Thank you for this story. Thank you for sharing. And if you desire to share your story and have it anonymously shared and me to walk through it, go ahead and email me at Nikki at dietbreakerdietitian.com. Okay, I'll even try to leave a link if you want to write your story up. Okay, let's go. Hi, Nikki. I'm happy to share my story with you, although I'm sure it isn't the worst you've heard, but either way, it has had an impact on me my entire life. I grew up with my mom, and my dad was an alcoholic/drug addict. Okay, I want to stop right here and just acknowledge that this is actually a major influence on a relationship with food, and it can stem from things outside food itself, okay? You will hear me refer to something like a theory called Maslow's hierarchy of needs, okay? And this is a pyramid-shaped graph, okay? So stick with me for a second. Imagine there's a pyramid, kind of like the food pyramid, which we don't use anymore, so don't use that as a reference for instructing your eating habits, but there's a pyramid. And the foundational level that gives that pyramid all of its strength, those foundational influences, okay, is how it will influence the very top of the pyramid, which is our self-efficacy, how effective we are at in life, in our confidence, in our achievements, and so on, okay? So at the very bottom of this is our physical safety, air, food, water, shelter, and clothing. Okay, when you grow up in a home where even the basic needs are tainted or threatened or discombobulated, this can disrupt the levels above and lateral. Meaning, if we are in a house that does not feel safe in any context, whether that's physical or verbal abuse or just an unsteadiness in a relationship that we're witnessing, it can impact our lives going up towards self-actualization and success and all of those ways, and it also affects us laterally, okay? So addiction is a very difficult disease that can permeate our identity and trust, but also impact even our relationship with food. Okay, if we don't feel safe at home, we can use food to cope or escape. We can feel scarce around food. We can feel burdensome for even feeling the basic needs of hunger because we can see that our parent is struggling with another parent about an addiction issue. The list can go on. I'm not saying this is what you are, but I want to just acknowledge right here, our relationship with food can be impacted by this. I'm not saying it was, but I can say it can't be. Okay, let's keep going. My mom remarried my stepdad, who is amazing. However, I've always been put, quote, on the back burner by my mom. My brother struggled with more of my dad's addictions due to the fact that he was older, and so it meant that I didn't get as much attention. And the attention that I did receive was always about my health or my weight. All right, I am so sorry that the attention that you desired at a young age was given to you in what felt like a conditional basis. On one hand, we can see that your mom, and in your opinion, was delegating her time towards a new marriage, maybe trying to find love again, maybe trying to find stability to bring to her kids, maybe feeling like she couldn't do it all on her own, and so that reliance on needing another person there overtook maybe the affection that you got. I don't know. I'm not a therapist, but you mentioned it as that being something difficult, okay? And also the devastation of a struggling son with addiction. And thankfully, by the grace of God, it seems like you were the kid who did not fall into addiction. Yet maybe growing up, you intrinsically knew that the high value of your mom, that addiction wasn't good, or maybe you never wanted to touch it, okay? When you're given attention that was about your health or your weight, especially growing up as being something that is validated, of high value, and it can feel like we're gripping onto something that could easily fall away, or it can make us want to chase that specific thing more. If I get attention because I look or eat a certain way, we can either want it more or detest it more. And that would surely build up in a child's mind that the basis of your importance or acceptance or worth or value was that, and you desire maybe a deeper connection, of course you're going to chase that because that's what's giving you that affection. All right, let's keep talking. I keep reading. I was always a runner because my mom was, and I enjoyed it until I didn't. Amen. Sometimes we enjoy things until we get burnt out, or maybe the reason we liked it was for reasons that aren't necessarily us. Throughout high school, I did sports and loved being active and would come home after practice and told that if I ate fast food today, I better run or do something to burn it off. So many stories I hear are from these repetitive mindsets around food being put on us. Okay, moms passing down disordered beliefs. Now, they could genuinely feel that that is healthy advice because they didn't know different. And they felt like I should help my daughter so she doesn't struggle in this way. And they don't realize that that very thing will cause disordered eating because fast food tastes good and it's satiating and it can be worked into a healthy way of eating. Should it be relied upon as a healthy way of eating? No. But can we eat it and still be healthy? Absolutely. Can we enjoy it and should we enjoy it and not feel bad about it? Absolutely. Okay. So in one hand, we can give grace to maybe your mom that she was parenting through a disordered or poor beliefs on her own. And on the other hand, we can see how really that was just another harmful planted seed that will grow weeds and not flowers. Okay. Now, at that age, I'm continuing on with the story. Now, at that age, of course, it seemed like that was what I was supposed to do. I didn't understand why I couldn't be skinny like the other girls, even though I worked out constantly. I'm still like that to this day. I've always carried my mom's thoughts or my friend's thoughts in my head, like they won't like me as much if I'm not skinny, or I'm sorry, there's a dog going crazy outside. Hopefully you can't hear it, but let me close the window. Okay, I'm back. If you can still hear the dog, our neighbor's dog barks when it sees a leaf, look at it wrong, okay? This time I think it's a UPS man, so, you know, gotta protect us. Okay. It's okay. My friends, start there. They won't like me as much if I'm not skinny, or if I eat this in front of them, they'll think I'm fat, so I'll eat this later instead. Ooh, man. There are so many things that I'm seeing correlated here. One is that we put a lot of value, even at a young age, that skinny was where we felt accepted and loved. And since you've pinned that before to being valued by your mom and getting feedback from your mom is making you valued, I'm curious if that's how we feel our friends would think about us. Now, hindsight, well, I hope you do know, your mom didn't love you just the way you looked. And if a mom does love a child because of that, that's not a good mom. Okay. So we can see here that when we have a belief system that was rooted dip well into childhood, that how we look or how we eat will then decide on who likes us, how accepted we'll be, what they'll think of us. Okay. That would be really difficult to work through as a kid who can't understand that that importance actually is not there, that that is not where our value is. Our value is not found in what we eat or what we look like. It is found because Jesus loved us and came for us and decided that he wanted you, exactly you, in this world. And when we place things in that our value is determined by worldly things, like thinness or appearance of eating healthy, it is fleeting and it never lasts and it never sticks because there's always another weight to be had. There's always another day where we have to look skinny. There's always another day of having to avoid certain foods or eat a certain way in front of people, and it never lasts, does it? That conditional worth does not seep into the in a settling, everlasting way like Jesus does. We can know that our purpose isn't defined by those things, and it can take years to undo some of that difficulty. But here as a kid, it is so difficult. And when we grow up believing that, we can still carry it as an adult. To this day, we can still have that voice in our head that's dictating that doesn't supposed to be there. Okay? So this is tough. When we are shown this way to be accepted as a child, and it kind of you point to the as it being that knowing the truth can be difficult later in life. Because when we have a foundation or almost a reflex of belief that that how we look is the base of our worth, and if it's not good enough, then we will not be loved or we'll be rejected. We won't be seen, we won't be valued. And even though I can tell you that in your heart, you're not rejected by that. Okay, I can tell by you that you don't accept people or reject them based on how they eat or how much they weigh. I bet you weren't holding your mom to that same metric stick that you held yourself to, or your friends that they ate a cheeseburger, can't talk to them. Done. End of friendship. Done. They're not valuable. Okay, or they missed a workout or they didn't run. I have a feeling you didn't hold them to that metric. Of if they did those things, I can no longer be friends with them and they have no worth in my life. From the sounds of it, that's not you. In fact, imagine you carry much empathy for them and desire to show them love if they did feel that way. Let's keep going. Now I'm 32 and I've had 3 C-sections and a hysterectomy. I have thyroid issues and I've struggled with my weight for as long as I can remember. I have an addiction to diet soda, but it's what gets me through the day sometimes. The only thing I've learned over the years of being married to my husband is that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I eat a burger, he will still love me. And for that, I am so thankful. I just want to say and acknowledge that you have married a good man. Not perfect, because we're not all perfect, okay? But a good man who is reflecting something that you need. And it's reflecting, I think, a way that feels healing, okay? However, it doesn't always quite hit it, does it? Like, why don't his words sink into our heart the way we desperately desire for them to? I can offer you something here. It is not that you need to be seen by others or validated by others to fix that, including your husband. That can be incredibly healing, and I think God can work through our spouses to help us feel loved and connected to God on this earth, that he loves and cares for us, that he sent us someone who will love and care for us as well. Okay? Instead of looking for his affection and even his words fall flat, that is what we ultimately have to realize is what we're chasing. Okay? That by chasing worth and how we look, no matter if we eat a cheeseburger or not, okay, is valid, but it will never really fill that hole of confidence or worth in your heart. And knowing that, I think, is very crucial, is that, okay, my husband loves me and I eat cheeseburgers, okay, but why does that value of, like, even knowing that not sink in? One, we could just really not believe it, but two, we could be looking for even that to satisfy our confidence and our struggles. We need to go a bit deeper, okay? But knowing that is crucial. In fact, it shows where that foundation is. It has those cracks that need some fixing, okay? And it's going to be fixed by having a different, it isn't going to be fixed by having a different body or a different way of eating. You know, it's going to take learning to love yourself through your love of God, a healing way that helps you understand that you are made specifically to be loved as you are. It is through seeking faith and love in Jesus that can fill those holes that made in this world, okay? Those holes and those cracks were made in this world, but they cannot be fixed from this world, okay? And I firmly believe that because it was true for me and it's true for many women, that if we try to fix confidence through worldly things, when the world's the thing that broke us, we will just continue to find worldly issues. It will never sink in deeper. Go on. I don't feel like I have to run in order to eat a certain meal. And I recently started running again just to get back into it and hopefully lose some weight. And it is so hard. It feels good to be doing it on my terms, but of course those thoughts still run through my mind. And I hope one day that I can fully feel confident in my body despite what anyone else says to make me feel otherwise. Thank you so much for reaching out and letting me share. It always feels good to be able to voice your fears and your issues without feeling judged. Thank you for sharing your story. No, you are not judged here for feeling like this. And I think part of sharing your story, like coming on and writing these emails to me, it is so there. So many women have said, I can't believe how therapeutic it was just to say that, just to get it out. Because it just sits in my mind all day and wrestles in there and wreaks havoc in my heart. But just to get it out and not let it live in the shadows, to bring light into those dark parts by just speaking on it can be incredibly healing. Okay, so thank you for sharing. I want to share the reality of struggle with disordered eating and disordered body image in this world. Okay, I used to think that success was this. It was never, ever feeling negatively about my body. I used to believe that confidence was being so in love with how I looked that I never felt a negative thought again. And to be honest, it scared me to think that in the future, if someone used to tell me, well, you're still going to have insecure thoughts when you're older. But at that time, the insecure thoughts were what drove the bus of my life. And so I thought, that meant that if I had an insecure thought, that the bus driver was still those insecure thoughts. That was going to be just something I always dealt with. Okay. And it wasn't that I needed to stop feeling those thoughts. That's not what I really needed. That's what I really wanted. That was the heart desire. Or that was the kind of surface level desire. But the heart desire, where God knew it was deeper, was what I really needed was strength and resilience. I needed to understand that confidence isn't about the avoidance of feelings or fear or pain. Instead, confidence is being able to overcome those thoughts and feelings to a point where they are no more of a distraction in your mind than a sneeze. Think of an insecure thought coming up, and it's as if it was a sneeze. As quickly as it comes into your mind is as quickly as it goes out, and it doesn't impact your day. So imagine you have this bad thought come into your mind as a sneeze in your throat, and it's gone. It doesn't settle or sit with you in your mind for a whole day or a week. It doesn't dictate how you feel about food or run your life. Confidence is the place where you practice knowing your worth and where your worth is found in the correct spot and being able to take a punch, whether it be from your own mind or others, and placing your worth in that you are chosen by God to be here right now, and He gave you the vessel you have right now, and He loves you, and He loves the vessel He gave you, and He wants to use you in the vessel He gave you today. Imagine He loves you so much that He weeps over your negative thoughts, and He weeps over the experience you had as a child. Okay, He does not want us here. He wants us close to His heart, okay? And I hope you feel encouraged by even the smallest flick of progression that you feel like you've made. I think you have made bounds of progression, but it might feel like a flicker. You have recognized your pain of your past, and you've overcome some of the most disordered eating behavior just by what you're saying. And I encourage your curiosity to keep seeking that fulfillment outside of your body. And your frustration with it not being like right there yet, like you're not perfect with it yet, is incredibly powerful, insightful of the fight that God has put in your heart to not settle, to not stop here. So keep stoking that fire with His goodness and being in His word. And when those negative thoughts come up, act as if they're a sneeze. You just need to recognize it, have a sneeze, and get on with it. And the ways that I think are very practical is recognizing that those thoughts, those actions that come from those thoughts, like I should skip a meal, or I should do this, they've not been fruitful at caring for you. They have only perpetuated disordered eating, or disordered behaviors, or poor confidence, or distracting you from acting out in a loving way towards your body. So when you can say, if you have a negative image in your head popped up, okay, so maybe we walk in the mirror one day, 2 days ago we felt great, today we feel crappy. What has changed? Nothing. Maybe we're bloated. Has our body radically changed in a couple days? No. So what? We can say it's fleeting. The good thoughts are as fleeting as the bad thoughts, okay? But you are still a vessel of God. God gave you the vessel that you have, and He wants to use it. And it is worthy and valuable, and it desires to be nourished and fed. And the only way to have a healthy relationship with food and body is by taking care of it. And yeah, that includes exercise and eating healthy, but it does not include tearing it down with your thoughts. So say that. Say, I don't want to hear that thought. That thought is not healthy. That thought is not good. I am worthy, and I'm going to eat today. And I'm going to move my body, and I'm going to move forward without chasing disorder again. Okay? Keep going. You've got this. Thank you so much for sharing your story. Again, if you want to share your story, email me at nikki@dietbreakerdietitian.com or head to the show notes. I will have a link for you there.